Well, we are just a couple of days before Christmas, whatever day of the week it is. It's just days before Christmas. And, of course, everyone is going back and looking. I know my mom, you know, when we go to visit my mom during the holidays every year, the first thing she wants is, it's not long after we get there, or maybe sometimes she'll say first thing in the morning on Christmas. But usually it's like Christmas Eve. She wants to, one of the first things, I'll sit down, and she wants me to read the Christmas story from both Matthew and from Luke. And it is, you know, it's amazing because it is one of those verses or one of those sections of verses, sections of the Bible that we do read all the time. Certainly we hear it every year. If you don't go to church any other time but Christmas, you're hearing that story. So it's the one thing that we hear time and time again. But the beauty of it is there's always so much more. This is why the Word of God is so great. It truly is living and active. You can read the Christmas story today. Even though you read it last year, even last month you could have read it. And the amazing thing is, there'll be something there that applies to your life that you hadn't considered before. That's just how awesome the Holy Spirit is. And so I was reading this last night, and let's go through a few things, just as we look at it from the book of Luke. And I'm going to skip down to verse number 8, but this is the section where the angel is appearing to the shepherds. So you have the shepherds out in the fields at night, and from the Amplified Bible it reads it this way. And in that vicinity, there were shepherds living out under the open sky in the field, watching in shifts over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of the Lord flashed and shone all around them. And they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you was born this day in the town of David a Savior, who is Christ the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, which you will recognize him. You will find, after searching, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Then suddenly there appeared to the angel an army of troops of heaven, a heavenly knighthood, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace amongst men, with whom he's well pleased, men of good will." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing, the saying that has come to pass, for the Lord has made known to us." And so they went with haste, and by searching found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. So this is one of those pictures that we get in our mind, and it's certainly one of those things that, you know, already you've probably gotten 10 Christmas cards that have, you know, that kind of picture, you know, with the shepherds in the fields, and just the star, and, you know, just all those images that we see, and the glory of the Lord and the angels. I mean, we see all those things. But there's just a couple of things I want to look at. It starts off by saying that in that vicinity, so there in the area of Bethlehem, there were shepherds living out under the open sky, watching over their flocks by night. And there's a lot of different reasons that I've heard people give for why did God give this news to the shepherds. You know, why were the shepherds the ones that are singled out, that the angels come and the angels say, "Hey, good news, guys. Yeah, I'm just giving you a little insight here because no one else knows this yet, but if you head into Bethlehem, your Savior... This is a good day. This is a great day. This is good news for all mankind. The Savior has been born, and here's how you can find him." Now, we don't see in the Bible that anyone else was told. So the question is, why did the angels come? Why did God send this word, this good news, this angelic presence? Why did this happen to the angels? You know, I'm sorry, why did it happen to the shepherds in the field, as opposed to others? And I've heard a lot of different theories and a lot of different reasons why, and I'm sure they all have some truth to it. But what strikes me is this is the Good Shepherd who's being born right there. And I love the imagery that you get, because here's Jesus. Here's the Good Shepherd being born. And he's the one that is watching over the flocks. But it points out that these shepherds are in the field watching over their flocks by night. So these are the shepherds watching over the sheep, protecting the sheep. You know, the shepherd's job is to even lay down his life. Now, he's supposed to be protecting those sheep. He's supposed to be going after, as we saw with David, he's supposed to be going after the bear and the lion to protect the sheep. So here's shepherds, and they're protecting their sheep. They're watching over the flock. They're abiding. They're being faithful. They're doing their job. And they're doing it at night. And here's the shepherd. Here's the good shepherd who's being born in Bethlehem, right there in that area. This is a transition time, and we're coming from that time of darkness, the darkness of sin that has covered over mankind for all time. I mean, since the fall of mankind, since Adam and Eve, since sin has become, overwhelming. This darkness of the earth, the darkness of sin, this is a pivotal moment. So here's the shepherds that are representing all of humanity for all these years. And here's these shepherds watching their flock by night. Here's the good news. Nighttime is ending. I mean, that spiritual darkness is coming to a close. And it's represented by the fact that, here is these shepherds in the field watching that darkness. But that time of darkness is closing because that light is coming. That light of Jesus Christ, that light of God has come and has come to the earth. And so darkness is beginning to dissipate right now. And through his life and through his death and through his resurrection, darkness is going to be overwhelmed. Darkness is going to be defeated. The light is going to drive out the darkness. So here's the shepherds. The good shepherd is being born. Here's the shepherds representing, just representing, watching over mankind in the night during that time of darkness. But the light is coming. And we even see this, as the angels appear to the shepherds. I mean, just further giving us evidence that that time of darkness, the darkness of sin and the hopelessness of sin, that darkness is coming to an end. And here come the angels. And I love the way the Amplified Bible reads this. When the angels do appear to the shepherds, in verse number 9, it says, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of the Lord," this is the light of God, this is the light of Jesus Christ, this is the light of heaven, which in Revelation we know there's not even going to need a sun, because the illumination comes from that light of Jesus himself. So here Jesus, here God is coming in human form into this dark world, and here's these shepherds, faithfully abiding, watching over their sheep in the darkness, but the time of darkness, the darkness of sin, is coming to an end. It's coming to a conclusion because the hope of mankind, the Savior of mankind, has already been born and is already here. This is good news. So the time of darkness of sin is ending. And to further amplify that, boom, here comes the angels. And it says, again, the Amplified, it says, "The glory of the Lord flashed and shone all around them." This isn't like a light, like a lamp light. It's not like a beam of light. This is a light that illuminates. It's all around them. The entire area is illuminated. In other words, darkness is totally dissipated. And if you're walking in darkness and you got a flashlight, darkness doesn't dissipate. You just get that little beam of light that kind of guides the way. Shows you where you're going, but you're still surrounded by darkness. You get that illumination in front of you so you can see where you're going. But that darkness still surrounds you. Well, here's a moment where Jesus Christ, God himself, his Lord himself, to become flesh, to become human, to overcome, to defeat sin, to end the darkness, the light of Jesus. And this is amplified by that light that shone all around them. This is not a beam of light. This is total illumination. In other words, darkness dissipates and flees altogether. So that time of darkness, that time of night where they've been watching, these shepherds watching at night, that's come to an end. Because now the good shepherd has come. And the good shepherd is bringing light and hope and salvation. And who's it for? It says here in Luke, this is for all mankind, and the angels even said that. It's one of the things that the Jews missed throughout all the Gospels. The Jews themselves missed the fact that Jesus came when he was here on earth. He did come for the Jews. But here's the angels saying, but this is good news for all men. Because when Jesus died and rose again, he opened up the door for all men. And here are the angels even saying that from the very moment of the beginning. He came for all men. So the angel comes, here's the shepherds, they're representing what has been, faithfully abiding and watching, but that time of the darkness of sin, that time is closing. Light is here. Jesus is here, and the angel said, don't be afraid. Behold, this is verse number 10. I'm going to read this from the King James. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, focus on that word behold for a minute, for behold, remember that, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Here's the angel standing amongst and beside these shepherds gathered in the field. And he says, don't be afraid, but behold. And there's so many times in the Bible where you see the word behold and what it's really meaning. And this is kind of my loose paraphrase. But you see this a lot in the Hebrew. But here we see it in the Greek also. But the word behold means to perceive. It means to perceive something in the spiritual. It means to look beyond the natural and to perceive with spiritual eyes. Behold means perceive this. So here's the angel of the Lord saying to the shepherds, perceive this. Open your eyes and see. See what good things God has done. Open your eyes and see, because I'm going to tell you now what this is. I'm bringing you great news. I'm bringing you great joy has come to all mankind. This darkness that you've been abiding in as you've been watching here in the field, this darkness of sin that has hung over mankind, the light has come. This is good news. This is joyful news. And it shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angel is telling them, behold this, perceive this. See with your spiritual eyes and perceive this, which has happened. And perceive what it means. And perceive what God has done for you. So many times in our life, we read the Bible. And we read of the promises. And so many times, I think God is saying to us, behold, behold this word. Behold, open your eyes. Perceive. Not with your experience, not with your natural expectations, what experience has told you. Perceive what this word says. Perceive the spiritual truths that are here. Because if you'll perceive those things, if you'll behold those things, if you'll open your eyes to see those things, you know what? Jesus was the Word of God made flesh. And so the angel standing there with the shepherds saying, hey, behold, this is what I want you to see. I want you to see that the Word of God has been made flesh. This is great news. Behold, perceive it. We have the Word of God still in front of us here today. And this is why it's so imperative that every day we pick up the Word and we spend time in the Word. And we read the Word. But it's more than just spending time and reading the Word. Hear God Himself saying to you when you pick up the Word. Hear God Himself, because He gave us this Word for us to understand. He gave Jesus to the entire world. He gave it to all of us. But at this moment, in this Luke chapter 2, He's speaking through the angels. He's speaking to these shepherds and saying, listen, this is, I want you to see what I've done. I want you to see and experience it. Open your eyes. This is the Word of God made flesh. This is great news. This is the Savior. The light is here. Every time you open up the Word of God, this is Jesus. This is Jesus revealing Himself to you and I. So every time you open up the Word, it's no different than we can picture ourselves being there like the shepherds. And God saying through the angel, behold, perceive what I'm telling you. Perceive those spiritual truths, those spiritual things. In verse number 12, it says, and this will be a sign to you, by which you will recognize him. You will find him, after searching, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. I'm sorry, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. This is the sign. He said, look, here's the sign. Here's how you're going to know. Now, I think it's interesting. I don't have the answer for this. Maybe you do. I just think it's interesting. When we read the story, the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus Christ, when we read this story from Matthew, you know, we get it and we see that there's a timing difference here, because when the wise men came, when those wise men came to Jesus Christ to honor him with those gifts and to honor him as the Savior, the Redeemer, and most people do understand that it wasn't on the night of the Nativity. It was probably like 2 years later, or up to 2 years later. So there's a time lapse. But we still get that same imagery of God showing some people. You know, here we see the shepherds. There it was the wise men. And he showed them. Now, how did he show the wise men? And how did he direct the wise men? He directed the wise men to Jesus by the star. He said, look to the star. Follow the star. You follow after the star, and the star will lead you to exactly where the Messiah is, where the Savior is. So they followed the star. That's another whole story. Didn't do that with the shepherds. He didn't say, hey, follow the star. The star's going to guide you and direct you to, in Bethlehem, exactly where the Christ child is. They had to go look. They had to go search. I love the two different dual images that you see here. Because God will direct us. He gives us. I could spend a lot of time talking about this, but when you look at the star and the imagery of the star in the book of Matthew, when you read exactly what the word says, it's not like it was a star like an actual star. This was the Shekinah glory. This is the light of Jesus Christ, because you can see that it moves. And when you read the words, you read how the Bible describes it, there is movement to the star. There's no star you're going to look at in heaven that's actually going to move from one place to another. And this was a star that directed them directly to. There's not a star that's going to direct you. It'll direct you in a direction, but it's not going to take you to a pinpoint location. So this is something different. But it's interesting to me that God used that. But then here at the shepherds, he said, go search. And this is the way God is with us. I will show you the way. I will show you where to go. I will direct you. But you've got to be searching. You've got to look. There's answers that you're looking for in your life. And God is saying, "This, you know, here's foundational evidence. From the very beginning of Jesus becoming flesh. At the very start, he's showing us there's two ways. There's two parts of this involved. A, I will show you. I will direct you. Seek me. I will show you, but you got to seek me. First of all, I will show you. I'll guide you and direct you. But second of all, you got to be seeking me. You got to do some searching. You can't just sit in your lazy boy and wait for these things to happen. You got to search it out. You got to look for it. This is what makes the Word of God so amazing and so outstanding. There is direction for your life right here in this Word. Oh, Todd, I've read the Word and I just haven't gotten that kind of direction. Well, you know what? There's two parts to it. God will direct you, but you got to search it out. You got to believe when you open it up that I'm going to read something and God's going to speak to me through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's going to be like that light that will guide me, will show me, will reveal things to me. But I got to make the effort to open it up, to read it, and to not just do it as, well, this is my job, my responsibility. I'm doing my homework. I'm reading the Word of God. No, I'm reading it because I'm wanting to. I'm anticipating you're going to speak to me because this is you revealing yourself to me. And it's you revealing yourself to me fresh every day. You could read the same chapter every day. And I guarantee you the Holy Spirit would show you something different every day. Because it's living and active. So the shepherds had to come. He said, go search. With the wise men, he said, here's the star. The star will take you. With the shepherds, go search. Here's what you're going to look for. Here's the sign. They still had a sign. They knew what to look for. They knew when they found it, but they had to do some effort and search. Most of us just want just to have God take us to where we're supposed to go. He'll take us. He'll guide us. He'll direct us. We've got to get up and go. We've got to go look. And I got to wrap it up, but I also just love this. So that says the babe was wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger. I just love the fact that the baby, Jesus, was wrapped in swaddling clothes. I was looking up what swaddling means, and it actually means strips. It means strips of cloth. So he's wrapped up. So the baby was wrapped up in these strips. It was not one solid piece of cloth. It was strips that wrapped him up. His body was covered and wrapped in these strips of clothing, these strips of fabric, of material. But I also looked up what that word, even looking up that word, if you look up what that means, the root of the word means, and it's talking about different things, but part of what that word, root of that word means is to rend or to tear, which makes sense because that's what causes the strips. But the word does have in its foundational root the image of ripping and tearing. So here's Jesus, the light of the world, announced as the shepherds are watching in darkness, saying the time of darkness is ending. Because the light of God is here. And even in that moment where the light of God has come to earth, has come into the flesh, even at that very moment, he's wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's wrapped in fabric. His body is encumbered by this which was rent and torn. And in the same way that is this little precious innocent baby is presented here on earth, in about 3 decades, his body is going to be rent and torn for us. Here's the light. Darkness is ending. Here's the light. The darkness of sin is coming to an end. Here's the light. Here's the hope. And here's the sign. Here's the sign in the image for you. He's in those clothes, those strips of clothes, ripped and torn, as he will be for you. It's just beautiful imagery. Only God can do those kinds of things. It's just amazing. How good is God? How much does he love us? How much has he given for us? And how much does he use the word to show us how much he loves us and how he planned all this out for us?